Bible reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is God's word.
Thanks, Isaac. Happy Christmas, everyone. It's great to look out here and to see so many family and friends, but also to see a bunch of people that I don't know. So my name's Andrew. I'm the senior pastor here, and I just want to take this opportunity on behalf of our church to wish you a very special and meaningful Christmas. And it's my privilege for us just to focus our attention just for a short moment on the idea that Christmas comes to bring us peace. The passage that was just read out to us is probably the most famous passage in terms of what's read out at Christmas time. And from this most famous passage comes the most famous verse. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. So from this most famous passage, from this most famous verse, comes the most famous word, which is the word peace. It seems that everybody knows that Christmas is about peace. It's on our cards, it's in our shop windows, our politicians actually wish us peace at Christmas time, don't they? But have you ever stopped and wondered, what is this peace all about? I know my brief today. My brief is to be short, to be light, to be fluffy. You use words that are evocative of, you know, happy feelings, words such as joy and child and hope and peace and wonder and all that kind of stuff. And I know that's what I'm meant to do today. I know that's the feeling that we're all trying to get. Some of you, actually, guys, you have girlfriends sitting next to you and you're wondering, should I propose to my girlfriend? Today's the day to do it, man. You've got everything going in your favour today. She might wake up to herself tomorrow and say no, but she might say yes today, so go for it. But today, I don't want to be light and fluffy. I just actually want to be clear. Now, some of you have heard me preach a lot, and you say, "Andrew, clear, would like to hear a clear talk from you." So today, instead of being light and fluffy, let's try to be clear about what the angels declared when they declared peace on earth. You know, sometimes when you're thinking about something, it's kind of helpful to kind of think, well, what's the opposite? What are the angels not saying that this peace is? Well, this peace is not international or political peace. There could be a debate whether Christianity has actually made the world a better place, a more humane place, a more loving place, a more just place. And there are those who would argue, yes, it has. But then there are many people, and you might be one of them, that would say, well, no, that's not the case at all. As I look at all the problems in the world, religion is part of the cause of all these problems. And Christianity is a part of that as well too. And you would have to say, wherever you are on that argument, that the last 2,000 years have been a history of violence, of injustice and of bloodshed. And so if Jesus came to bring political peace and international peace, you would have to actually say that he failed. Some people say, well, it's not political or international peace, it's this internal peace. It's this perfect pause, a still glass of water in the midst of a storm that nothing or no one can ruffle us. But I'm a pastor. My job is actually to deal with people, and this is my philosophy of life. Everyone has a problem or is living with a problem or is a problem. Today I look out and there is hundreds of people in this room, and do you know what I see? I just see problem upon problem upon problem. And I know what your problem is. Now, if Jesus actually came to bring us internal peace, well, you would have to actually say that he failed there again. So what is this peace? The angels declare that this peace can actually be experienced, that it's real, that it's here and now. It's something to be experienced here on earth, and it can be yours and it can be mine. Glory to God in the highest heaven on earth. Peace to those on whom his favour rests. Peace on those on whom his favour rests. So this peace seems to be contingent on experiencing God's favour. So this is not an international or political peace. It's not an internal peace. This peace has to do between us and God. We all know John Wesley's famous song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Do you want to sing the first chorus of that? We all know that song, don't we? So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Well done. But what is the last line of that course? God and sinner reconciled. Now, we don't want to actually think about that at Christmas time, do we? But the main message of Christmas is that we need to actually receive reconciliation. We need to actually experience peace between ourselves and God. So the message of this Christmas message is what is this peace, and actually how do we go about experiencing? So firstly, what is this peace? So to actually receive this gift of peace at Christmas time, you have to actually say, I need this peace. I need this peace between myself and God. You know, when somebody gives you a Christmas present, it's a gift of generosity, but you have to actually want what they give you. So at the end of this service, you might say, well, that was a cracking talk, Andrew, or you've had a great year of ministry, Andrew, and here's a Christmas gift. And I open that gift, and it's a ticket to the opera. I'll politely accept that gift, but when I go home, I'm putting that bad boy on eBay. Because I don't want to go to the opera. I don't want to waste 4 hours of my life listening to something that doesn't have a ball and an outcome and a win score at the end of it. And for us to actually receive this peace, we have to actually say, yes, I need peace between myself and God. But I can hear what many of you say. Many of you say, well, I don't feel at war with God. I don't feel that there's any enmity between myself and God. But the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, he says, the natural mind is hostile to God. It does not and it will not submit to God. So the natural condition of our heart towards God is not one of ignorance. We don't just need more information about God. The natural inclination of our heart is not indifference. We don't need more a motivation to actually develop a relationship with God. The natural condition of our heart is hostile towards God, and we need reconciliation. Again, you say that's not true. In my job, I actually deal with a lot of people having marriage difficulties. And what you see in marriage breakdowns, you see two people who started off actually loving one another, but over a period of time, they drift apart and there's indifference and there's hostility towards one another and there's anger towards one another. And do you know what actually needs to happen in that relationship? There needs to be grace and love and forgiveness and reconciliation, and they need to actually find peace. And you say, no, they don't. They just actually need to work out their issues. They can't work out their issues until they're reconciled. And what the angels declare and what the mission of Jesus is all about, it's about bringing us peace between ourselves and God. And again, you say, I don't need that, but we will not accept God as he's revealed himself to us. Often we're angry with God. Why did God allow this? Or why did God do that? Or why doesn't God answer my prayer? Or why doesn't God act? When I preach on the holiness and justice of God, people say, I can't believe in a God like that. It's too harsh. And when I preach on the grace and the love and the forgiveness of God, people say, I can't believe in a God like that. That's too easy. We will not accept the God as he's revealed himself to us in the scriptures and ultimately in Jesus. We have this DIY version of religion where we make up a God in the image of our own desires, a God who actually we are comfortable with, but we will not come to the real and living God and fall at his knees and worship and adore and live for him. And the greatest thing we need is to be reconciled with this God. I became a Christian at 17 years of age around Christmas time. And I realized at that point I was actually at war with everyone. I was at war with myself. There was this internal angst and anger. I just was confused and kind of couldn't work myself out. I was at war in my relationships. As hard as I tried, I couldn't get my family relationships right and my friendship relationships right. But I also realized that I was at war with God. The most famous Christmas passage, the most famous verse of that passage, the most famous word from that passage, it is what the angels are declaring. It's the purpose of Jesus' coming. It is what Christmas is all about, and it is about a gift of peace. And so how do you get it, friends? Well, this is the scandal of Christmas. You don't have to actually do anything. You just have to see that God has actually done everything for you. You have to just see that this one born in the manger was God come to you in the flesh. That Jesus lived the life you should have lived and he died the death that you should have died. You just place your faith and your trust in Jesus and you ask him to forgive you and you commit your life to start to know him, to worship him, to love him and to follow him. And guess what? At that moment, the peace of God actually comes into your life. Some of you are sitting here this morning and say, well, this talk is not for me. You know, I've done all of that. I've placed my faith in Jesus. But can I ask you, are you living out of this peace? And do you know how to live out of this peace? I have to ask myself, I understand about the peace of God theologically, but does my life actually reflect the wonder and the glory of actually knowing this peace that I have between myself and God and living out of this peace? Most of us, by the end of the year, we're banged up and we're tired and we're confused. Another year of broken relationships, another year of hurt, another year of dashed dreams, another year of frustration at work. And we get to the end of the year and we're tired and we're fearful and we're stressed and we're worn out and we're not living out of this peace. In Luke, the angels declare, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests. But if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, Peter is talking about the love of Jesus. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the grace. And then he's got this throwaway line. He says, even the angels, the same angels of Luke chapter 2, even the angels long to look into these things. Friends, the angels are smarter than us. They're wiser than us. They're more intelligent than us. But they look into the peace of God, into the grace of Jesus, into the love of Jesus, into the wonder and the beauty of Christmas, and they are dazzled and they are amazed. Friends, I said that this peace doesn't actually bring international peace, but I believe it actually does. Jesus hates war. He hates violence. He hates disease. He hates injustice. How is God actually going to change this world? By one changed heart as at a time. What is God's strategy for this world? There's a reason why I'm not a politician. Nothing against any politicians if you're here with us today. Politicians can build roads and they can build hospitals and they can build schools, but they can't change people's hearts. Only the good news of Jesus Christ can do that. And Jesus sends us out into the world to become peacemakers. Enough of this eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We have to be people who actually display the kindness and the love and the grace of God to one another in this world. And what about this internal peace? Well, once you get peace with God, that is yours as well too. I said I became a Christian at the age of 17. I was just at a beach by myself and I just cried out to God. I said to God, would you forgive me? And at that moment, the greatest love and the greatest power in the universe actually came down upon my life and I was adopted into God's family. My greatest curse is that I worry and I get stressed and I'm fearful about all sorts of things and I constantly have to remind myself of the message of Christmas, of the peace that is mine. If I have God, the God of the universe, in my corner, loving me, this God who is wise and kind, this God who is all-powerful, this God who's in control of my life and in control of my world, then what in the world am I so worried about? Friends, this peace with God is the greatest gift of mankind. The most famous Christmas passage, the most famous verse of that passage, the most famous word of that passage, it is what the angels are declaring. It's the purpose of Jesus' coming. It is what Christmas is all about. Peace, peace between us and God. So friends, I pray that you'll just have a cracking day with family and friends. Eating yourself stupid. But I plead with you. If you actually want to know internal peace, if you want to know peace with God, if you actually want to experience peace in your relationship with one another, turn to and place your faith and put your trust in this one who was born in a manger. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray for my friends, for this beautiful community. I thank you that we have gathered here today to celebrate the birth of your Jesus, yet you will not actually just let Jesus to be a baby in the manger. Jesus, the Son of God, grew up and lived this outstanding life, this amazing life of holiness, of justice, of kindness. He went to the cross. And he left that empty so that we not might know that our sins have been forgiven. He rose again and left the tomb empty so that we might know that death has been defeated. Father God, I pray for each and every one of us that we'll reach out and take hold of this great gift at Christmas time, this gift of peace. We'll experience it in our hearts and in our relationships with you and with one another. I pray this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.